the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family.
I don't know about you, but right now is such an incredibly exciting time because it's gardening season. When you're able to plant your own medicine in your own garden, your world opens up to endless possibilities of taking better care of yourself and your family in the most of sustainable ways. So what things do you need to consider when it comes to planning your medicinal herb garden? And how can you avoid the overwhelm of so many things to think about? Well, in today's episode, I'm going to share some of the things that you might want to consider when planning what you want to grow and turn into the medicine that will keep your family healthy and well all year long.
Hello, and welcome to The Herbalist Path, a podcast where you'll discover how to make your own herbal remedies at home so that you can take better care of yourself, better care of your family, and better care of our planet. I'm Mel. I'm a clinical herbalist, environmental educator, and mountain living mama with this crazy passion for teaching more mamas and their little loves how to use plants as medicine in a safe, effective, and tasty way so that there can be an herbalist in every home again. It's an absolute honor to have you on the journey down the herbalist path with me so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers.
So as we dive into gardening season, there are gardening gurus out there all over the interwebs. And I am so grateful for them because there's a lot to think about and plan for in your garden. And I'm not quite a garden guru, but I'm friends with some and I love them. Like my friend Robin from Garden Mentors. She was recently a guest on the show. I think it was episode 49, if you want to go check that out. Anyways, what I am pretty sharp with is thinking about what herbs and remedies can be grown to help you take the best care of your family throughout the year. So let's chat about some of the things that you may want to think about when it comes to planting your medicinal herb garden. Like first, what phase of life are you in? What about your kiddos? Do we have babies that may be dealing with things like cradle cap or colic or teething? Or what about the kiddos that are racing through the neighborhood on their bikes and bound to wreck a time or two? Because there's herbs for that too. And then, of course, I know it's spring right now and cold and flu season isn't high on the mind, but you're certainly going to want to plan for that too. Or you might end up wiping way too much snot off all the door handles and watching the piles of tissues pile up inside of your home come next fall. So what, oh what, are you going to plant? Well, when it comes to all things skincare for the whole family, I think of a couple of herbs right away. Of course, my number one is my beautiful Frangela calendula. She's just gorgeous. She's this flower that always brings an incredible smile to my face. She repels the bad bugs from your garden and brings the good bugs in. So what's not to love? And not only that, she's amazing for your whole family. Like when it comes to those inevitable cuts and scrapes, having a calendula salve or oil on hand can work wonders. Maybe you're dealing with cradle cap. Yeah, calendula is definitely your frangula during that time. Or if somebody's got the foot funk or other fungal infections, yep, calendula saves the day yet again. Another herb I think about when it comes to skincare is comfrey, which happens to attract all the good pollinator friends. It also makes an incredible soil amendment or compost later on, and it's straight phenomenal when it comes to taking care of your skin. It's loaded with this stuff called allantoin, which helps to regenerate skin cells, which of course means it's going to help speed the healing and repair of all those cuts and scrapes and little wounds and such. And not only that, when your wild and crazy kiddos get a bit too wild or crazy, or is that you? I don't know. But what I do know is that if someone you love happens to sprain or strain themselves or even break a bone, comfrey can be an amazing friend to have on hand to dramatically speed the healing process of sore muscles and joints and broken bones. In fact, she can be so good that if you've broken a bone, you don't want to use comfrey until you've had the time to get to the doctor and set it in place, or it just might heal a bit too fast. Okay, so how about when someone in your family gets tummy upset, or maybe you've got a sad colicky baby? Well, there's a few herbs I love for this too that are just amazing for our kiddos and are generally regarded as safe. So one of them that I love is lemon balm. It's what's called a carminative herb, and it's wonderful for easing gassiness, bloating, and tummy upset. Another really cool thing here is that it's known as nature's sunshine, and lemon balm does a wonderful job to help uplift the spirits and bring a sense of joy and happiness, particularly for those who may be dealing with depression or anxiety. I love lemon balm, and its lemony fresh scent and taste makes a delightful summertime iced tea. And it's just so darn easy. And then there's chamomile. So many people love to think of chamomile as just the sleepy time herb, but the reality is that it's also amazing when it comes to tummy upset and other digestive issues. For instance, it can ease gassiness and bloating and tummy upset. It's really rich in bitters, which promote healthy digestion from the start. And it happens to be an anti-inflammatory herb specific for the gut and for the skin. So you can use chamomile as a tea or a wash or a poultice. You can use it for inflammation on the inside and for inflammation on the skin or the outside. I even used it for my daughter when she had conjunctivitis as a newborn. And of course, you do have to be very, very careful with anything around the eyes and be sure to keep it clean. So yeah, there are tons of ways you can use chamomile to take better care of your family. So many, including helping to deal with anxiety or nervousness too, and just that end of the evening wind down cup of tea. Yeah, so we've got to think about all those herbs, right? And what about when it comes to cold and flu season, or maybe just keeping the sickness at bay in your home? Yep, those are really important herbs. And the oh-so-popular one that totally deserves its claim to fame would be the elder shrubberies. And I say the shrubberies because this powerful medicinal plant has tons of medicine beyond their amazingly potent antiviral berries. So let's take the flowers, for instance. They're about to start popping up around where I live, and if you harvest them in a delicate enough fashion, you can have some great tea that's particularly beneficial in helping out when someone has a fever, and they can be quite tasty too. Of course, the berries do a wonderful job of fighting off cold and flu, as well as shortening the durations of cold and flu. Plus, they are uber yummy in the tummy. So if you want a recipe for my elderberry syrup, definitely check out my blog at theherbalistpath.com, or I've got one on my YouTube channel too. And another thing to think about when it comes to planting elder shrubberies is that it's going to take some time for them to produce fruits for you. But once they do, it's going to be so wonderful to have this potent medicine around your property. Ooh, yeah. And speaking of your property and planting these elder shrubberies, they love to be on the outskirts of your garden, watching over the land. So keep that in mind when you're planning all of this medicinal abundance. Another great one to keep in mind for your cold and flu garden that's just as gorgeous and can be super helpful when it comes to sore throats is marshmallow. And no, I'm not talking about your jet puff stuff. I'm talking about Althea officinalis. She's a gorgeous plant to grow with medicine in her flowers, her leaves, and her roots. In fact, her roots are one of the most demulcent herbs out there, meaning that they can work wonders when it comes to cooling and soothing hot, irritated, inflamed tissues, such as a dry, sore throat. Or back to the skin, it can be really great helping with minor burns or other hot skin irritations, as well as super dry and flaky skin. The cool thing is that there's so many wonderful medicinal herbs out there. And more often than not, the one herb you're planning to help you with, let's say tummy upset, may also be good for the nerves, or really whichever direction you want to turn it around in. My point being that these plants are amazing, and they can work wonders for helping you to take better care of your family in a more sustainable way. And once you really start diving into the world of herbal remedies, you'll soon see that these beautiful and precious plants usually have way more medicinal benefits than they are given credit for. You see, in our society, we just tend to get really excited when we learn that a plant helps in one way or another. Then all the memes happen, and suddenly that plant is pegged for that one thing only. Just like with echinacea and being an immune stimulant, it does so much more than that. Or with St. John's wort and depression, there is so much more going on inside this plant. Anyway, I'm going off on another herbal tangent. In reality, it's time for me to go off into planning my medicinal herb garden and for you to go get to your garden too. So thank you so much for tuning in to another episode, and be sure to shoot me a message and let me know what you're going to plant in your garden this year. I really want to hear all about it. And if this episode was helpful for you, please leave me a 5-star review and share it with your friends so that together we can make herbalism spread like wildflowers. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. Being on this journey with you is absolutely incredible. If you dig this episode, please leave me a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with your friends so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. On another note, I must mention that while I know you're getting some good info here, it's important to remember that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and is not intended to be a substitute for medical treatment. While the information in this podcast is absolutely relevant, herbs work differently for each person and each condition. That's why I recommend you work with a qualified practitioner, whether that be another herbalist, a naturopath, or your doctor. So thank you again. I am truly honored that you're tuning into these episodes and on the path with me to make sure that there's an herbalist in every home again. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends so that we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers.